We had a great time with the men at the retreat. We had a lot of lessons. We taught a lot on them and had some great meals. We had pork ribs, oh man, baptized and barbecue sauce. We had all kinds of good stuff. And then we had a big breakfast in the morning. We shot up a bunch of targets. We blew up a pumpkin with a sparkler bomb. There we go. A sparkler bomb blew up a pumpkin. We played a whole bunch of games. And we had a contest throughout the camp. Who came in second out of everybody in all the contests? And we decided that person who came in second the most would be the champion of camp. And I won that. In every contest we had 12 guys, I came in second every time. And I wanted somebody else to have the opportunity to win. And so I did that, made them feel good, and then I came in second and won the grand prize for all of camp. And so we did that. We had a lot of fun. Guys were great and had a great spirit. And we had great fellowship and prayer time. It's good. We have good men, and it was great to be together. Tonight I'm going to talk about glory and pleasure and infirmities. Yeah, a passage we are a little familiar with that we've talked on, but I found some new things in there and things that I've never talked about before and I wanted to talk about. And I'm going to start at verse 1. But focus on 7 through 10. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations in the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. By the way, totally side note, you might not even understand this, but when the more real the spiritual war becomes, and the more close you get to God and Satan starts fighting you, you find that the physical and the spiritual start blending together. And he didn't even know if he was in the body or spirit. Verse 3, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And thus I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given unto me, the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Let's pray. We'll talk about glory and pleasure in infirmities. Father, thank you for the privilege of preaching your word. No man is worthy, and certainly not me, Father, to be the spokesman for the treasures and truths of the word of God. But Lord, I believe you gave me a message. It wasn't exactly what I had planned. I had a different message for tonight. But Lord, you've very clearly throughout this week told me you want this message tonight. And so Lord, it's your church and I'm yours and whatever you want to do. Obviously, you have a purpose for this message. I pray that it be done. I pray Satan's attacks would not hinder somebody from changing and growing. I pray that a difference would be made in eternity because of this evening's service. Help us now, Lord, and speak to us. May your spirit now please control my mind, my thoughts, my eyes, my ears, everything is done. And every part of this room, may your spirit be in control and drawing and speaking. And give everyone, including the children, ears to hear. And help us to grow as Christians and in love with you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul had so much grace and so much blessing upon him. God worked in him in such a powerful way, it says. It's amazing. He says that he said, I will glory, if I'm going to glory in something, I'm going to glory that I was taken up to the third heaven. I was taken up to heaven. And I heard things from some man or whatever he was that was so wonderful and so amazing. It's not lawful for me to even tell you what I saw and heard. He said, I have revelations and I write scripture and God's blessed me and spoken to me in such amazing ways. He says that I might get exalted above measure. I might get exalted above what I ought to be exalted and way put up, way high because God just speaks to me, and God just works in me, and God just uses me. And he says, with all the other apostles, I'm not behind them in anything. I've started more churches. I've won more souls. I've done more miracles. I have more impact. He says, really, not in this passage, but in other passages, he talks about that. God has blessed him amazingly. And he says, so I don't get exalted above measure. God sent me something, and I was allowed to get something that's called his thorn in the flesh. Now, the simple thing is, people conjecture what the thorn in the flesh is. If God wanted us to know what it was, he would have told us. We don't know what it is. I think God did that on purpose so we can fill in the blank with ourselves. That's what I think. There is all kinds of ideas and things. We know it's in the flesh. We know it's a thorn. And there's some details in here, but not specifics about it. And he got this problem, and he calls it an infirmity. And then he grabs a hold of infirmities. And he had this infirmity, and it kept him grounded. Verse 5, as such a one that I met in heaven will I glory, yet in myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. I'm going to glory in my infirmities. He prayed for it in verse 8 to ask God to remove this thing from me 3 different times, knowing that he's a guy who could do miracles and raise people from the dead, and God said, no, I'm not going to heal you. And God said these simple words, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is what you need. And it's going to be enough to overcome this infirmity, but the infirmity is going to still be there. And as I said this morning, the troubles aren't, so often what we're looking for is an escape from the troubles and problems and God to remove those things, but that's not most of the time God's way. God's way is to give us grace and peace and joy and strength to overcome those troubles, and that makes us strong. We want to just have everything removed, and God may do that, and he does that sometimes, but a lot of times God gives you grace. He gives you strength. He gives you mercy. He gives you joy. He gives you peace, and you're able to handle whatever comes, and you have the strength to do what needs to be done. You might pray, Lord, don't let me ever be tempted with that again, with that sin ever again. It's too hard for me. But you might get tempted with it again. But you might find God gives you grace to overcome and not fall into temptation. And so God says, my grace is sufficient. And so God did not heal him because of this. But then he said about his infirmity, at the end of verse 9, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. This is the second time he said, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to say, these are my infirmities, and celebrate those things. And verse 10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities. Necessities is when you are down to the last millisecond or last provision, and you have a necessity you got to have filled. It's hunger. It's cold, necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. So twice he says, I glory in infirmities, and once he says, I take pleasure in infirmities, because these are things that God gives me. And then chapter 11 and verse 30, he says, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. Fourth time. You're making a real clear message here. What's the word infirmity? Infirmity in the Bible, Hebrew word is athenia, a Greek word, sorry, the Greek word is asthenia. The word means feebleness or weakness. That's the word means. It means a feebleness or a weakness. And he says, I will glory in my feebleness and my weakness. And so he says, I will do that. I want to give you some notes on his infirmity specifically and then some thoughts on ours. Number one, this infirmity was given to him. It was given to him. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. It was given to him. Okay? He was in God's hands. Satan didn't care if Paul got proud. It would be just fine if Paul got proud and fell. God allowed this infirmity, and God didn't remove it, because God said, I gave you this because it's good for you. Okay? So here is him, and this was given to him, and in this case, it was a weakness, an infirmity, a whatever it is, was given to him by God. Understand that. Now, the next couple points, you got to catch this whole thing. Because you got to understand the next couple points, because it goes along with it. It was given by God, but Satan was involved. Okay? But number one, it was given to him by God. Number two, a messenger. This infirmity was a messenger. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. This thorn in the flesh, this infirmity, was a messenger. Your infirmity, your feebleness, your weakness, the thing that makes you wish if it wasn't there, everything else would be great. Do you know what I'm talking about? The thing that if this was just taken care of, my life would be, everything would be gravy. If it weren't for this, this infirmity, this weakness, this feebleness, this thing that drives me crazy, this thing that I always stare at and look at and comes to my mind and gets me down and makes me feel bad, this thing was a messenger. I want to say your infirmities usually come with a messenger along with them. Let me get back to that in just a sec. Number three, it had the devil behind it. Verse 7. There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. It had a messenger of Satan. So I believe this thing was given to him by God to make him be stronger. God didn't take it away because it would make him stronger. Yet Satan was using it to beat Paul up. Okay? And the best way to explain this, you find in the Bible, lying spirits coming from the Lord. You find this. See, God has ultimate power over all spirits. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so God ultimately goes, and he can use a spirit any way he wants it. And nothing can happen to you unless God allows it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, it says, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is not faithful, but who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. God filters out everything that comes into your life. All things work together for good to them who love God. If you're serving the Lord, you're in the hand of God, but God allows things in, and sometimes God allows Satan to come in. Satan thinks that he's getting you, but God knows that actually that's going to make you great. But Satan doesn't know everything. Satan is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. I've illustrated it this way. Let's say one guy's holding my arms, and these guys are going to beat me up, and I wait till the one guy's about to punch me in the face, and right when he's about to punch me as hard as he can, I move my head, and he punches the guy holding me. And now I'm free. That guy meant to get me. He didn't know I was going to use it to help me. Okay? God says, Satan comes in and says, I'm going to destroy Paul. And God says, you know what? That's going to help him. He doesn't say it to Satan. He says, you know what? I'm going to allow it. And Satan goes, why? He's yours. God says, I'm going to allow it. Go ahead. And Satan goes, because he can't get to you without God's approval. And Satan goes in and says, yes. And he goes and starts to buffet you. He starts to beat you. He starts to pound you with this message. Your infirmities usually come with a message. If I can make you think about that for a sec, your infirmity talks to you. A messenger of Satan. What happens? It comes along, and it just keeps on talking. And it's the thing that bothers you, and you may be the one who does the talking for it, if you're a self-abaser, a self-pounder, who likes to pound yourself. I don't beat myself up very much. I think Satan swings at me enough. I don't need to give him ammunition. I confess my sins and move on. But Satan likes to beat me up. And when you fail, when you've done wrong, when you sometimes haven't done wrong but have a weakness and infirmity, when you have something that's attacking you, you constantly get messages from Satan. It might sound like this is going to be too tough for you. You'll never make it. It's all your fault. It's hopeless. You're not smart enough. You're not talented enough. You're going to fail again. Everyone looks down on you. You can't do it. A messenger comes along with your infirmity. Now, I could take, if you've been coming to church for a year at Open Door, I can sit down with you and I can tell you your messenger right now because you've already told me your messenger. Or I've observed you what message you get to you that always tries to make you not do good things and to fail, because Satan says the same things to you in particular. Do you know what it is? You know how Satan pounds you personally? Do you know what he kind of talks about, what he kind of brings up, the kind of things that he gets you? It's maybe an insecurity, it's maybe a failure, it's maybe something else. And that infirmity, that weakness that you've been allowed to get, comes along with a messenger to pound you. It says, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. The word buffet means to pound, to beat up. And just boom, boom, I get hit with this weakness thing, this weakness thing, this weakness thing. And it pounds you and pounds you and pounds you. And you know the funniest thing about it is, did you know in most cases that a person, they get pounded for an insecurity and maybe it's, I'm stupid. Did you know that person just thinks I'm stupid. And they always, they a lot of their life gets based around feeling stupid. And did you know that if you talk to most people, they don't think you're stupid, but you think everybody thinks you're stupid? Because that messenger pounds you with that thing. And it is your infirmity. It's your feebleness. It's your weakness. The other person says, nobody likes me. And everybody likes you. Or not everybody does, but most people do. And when you get that messenger, it just beats you and beats you and boots you. And unless you learn Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, eventually it beats you into an activity and failure and quitting. You cannot let your messenger that pounds you dictate what you do. You can say, you know, you're right, I'm pathetic, but you know what? I'm going to obey God anyway. That's hard to do. But Paul did it. And then Paul said, I love my infirmity. We don't love our infirmities, do we? We're saying, why do you like that thing, Paul? I get pounded by it. And Paul said, so did I. But it did me a lot of good. It was allowed. Because it turned me the right direction. Now, your infirmity can turn you the right direction like it did Paul, or it can turn you the wrong direction. But this weakness, this feebleness that we get, there is a messenger of Satan behind it. It has a devil behind it. It's allowed to pass through God, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13, and it often beats you up. Let's read that verse again, verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. Okay? Why was Paul getting a messenger of Satan? Why was he getting beat up? Because he was being blessed so much that God had to temper his blessing. He didn't do anything wrong. Now, sometimes your infirmity is because something you did wrong and God allows it to stay with you. Now, God can remove it at any time, but you know what? It's going to keep you grounded and humble. And he said, so I got that. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Why? Lest I should be exalted above measure. And I prayed about this thing, whatever it is. It was a physical problem. What was it? We don't know. Was it a vision problem, some people think? We don't know. Was it an emotional problem? Well, we don't know what it was. But it was there. And he said, God, take this away, three different times. And God said, nope. He just said no. And he said unto me, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness, in your infirmity. Your infirmity is going to make me fill you and to use you in a great way. And the main point, the big point right here, look up here, boys. Giovanni, there we go. Look up here, guys. This big point, number 5, is it's okay. The Lord's strength in us is perfected when we are weak. Verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And he's going to say 4 times, I like my infirmities. I glory in them. Why? Because they bring the blessings of God. Paul wanted power so much that he loved the infirmity, because that infirmity brought the power of God. Why did it bring the power of God? God says it. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. It's very simple. When you're sitting over here and God wants to use you and God wants to bless you and fill you, and you're sitting there saying, I am good and I can do it and I'm strong, God says, your tank is full of you and you does not burn in this thing we need to burn in this vehicle. You got a bunch of water in your gas tank. It's you. When I can drain that water out, I can fill you up with super gas, which is God's spirit. And this infirmity is driving you out of you because you realize you don't work. And the infirmity is realizing, is making you try to crank your engine over, and you're feeble. And you have no power. And so you say, I've got to get this out of me. And Paul said, I want the power of Christ. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Because when I am weak, when I realize I can't do it, when I stand here and say, I've got to do this thing for God, and I don't have the strength to do it. I don't have the will to do it. I'm just me, and I fail, and I'm wrong, and I can't do things right, and I'm not smart enough, or I'm weak, or nobody likes me, or I say things wrong, I always blow it. Whatever your infirmity is, you go, and God says, go do this, and you say, I can't. I need you, God. If I'm going to do that, you've got to help me. And God says, exactly. When you are weak, I am strong. That's why I gave you that infirmity. Did you know that most people who feel super confident, have everything together, have no failures in their past, who think they can do anything, did you know those people don't depend on God and can't do anything for God? They might be able to get earthly things done, but spiritually they're worthless. The people who God uses are weak people who need God. Now, you might look at them and say, they're not weak, man. They're strong and this and that. But you don't understand. They feel strong because they're like Paul, who said, I have an infirmity, but Lord, I need you. And they've been filled with God's strength, and they believe God's strength is enough, and they know they have their weakness, but their weakness is not their defining thing. They don't define themselves by their weakness. They define themselves by the power of their God. And so they get great strength from their infirmity because it drives them to their knees, and now they are getting God's help and God's power. You might say, I just can't be a good parent. Right. Good. Lean on God. I can't win a soul to Christ. Correct. Lean on God. I don't know what to say to that person. I'm just not smart enough to figure out the best argument. Right. Pray and ask God to help you. The Lord lets you have infirmities. The Lord makes it sometimes so you can't figure out a way where you're not strong enough, where you're just weak in an area. And you can go ahead and deny reality. And you can stand in the mirror and lie to yourself. And you can sit here and try to fool yourself. And I have no problem with you being confident, but not in the flesh. And not independent of God. I have no problem with you going out and say, you know what? With God's help, I can do this. That's biblical. That's good. That's wonderful. You should do that. And God's given you many abilities. But there's a lot of things where you say, I need God's strength. Because God's made me weak. God's made me need him. And God's done this thing. The Lord knows our weaknesses, our infirmities, and helps us as we continue to do right. God does not give you his strength in your weakness if you just buckle in your weakness and do nothing. But Paul didn't do that. The Bible, and I'll just give you a few verses. I don't want to spend too much time wandering around here, but Romans 8, watch how God knows how weak we are. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also help with our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. God knows we have weaknesses, and he will help us. So you don't know what to pray for as you ought. I'm just not wise enough to pray, and I'm not a very good prayer. Okay, fine. Don't pray, and nothing will happen. But if you say, Lord, I'm just not a good prayer, and I don't deserve to get my prayers answered, and I don't even know what to pray for, but I'm going to pray because you said I had to pray without ceasing. And I'm going to pray, and I pray you'd help me because I'm weak. God says, awesome, I will make intercession for you. God's blessing and help and strength is not for those who quit because of their infirmities. It's there's infirmities came along to make you lean on him as you obey. As you do what God wants you to do. As you don't spend time thinking of yourself all the time and failing. I think we look at ourselves too much. Paul wanted God's power so much that he loved his infirmity because it knew it perfected God's strength in him. And God helped him when he was doing right. And so he had that. Secondly, Paul, when he was weak, he was made strong. Back in our text here of 2 Corinthians. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that Christ, power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That's what he said. What happens? You pray more. You depend upon the Lord more. He gets more glory. You have more. You have to die to yourself more. Sometimes it's physical problems. Sometimes you're weak physically. And sometimes your body just does not want to cooperate. And then infirmity comes along. And guess what? You begin to depend on God to get up every day. And you begin to pray. Because you have problems. And you begin to die to yourself. And your flesh loses its control. And maybe your problem is some emotional failure from some scar in the past. And it just keeps coming back. But you go and you say, God, thank you for your mercy. And thank you for your love. And Lord, I need you. I know I can't be used without you. I have messed things up before. And it makes you strong. Do not let your failures define you. Do not let your infirmities make you pathetic and quitting. Glory in them. Realize, you know what? I'm no good at this, but it's making me pray. It's making me need God. It reveals that I really need him. You pray more. You depend on the Lord more. He gets more glory. You have to die to yourself. Look at 2 Corinthians. I've read some of these verses already. Let's go to chapter 13 and verse 3. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which is to you where it is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we are also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Jesus had the ultimate infirmity in the flesh. He died, but he got filled with the Spirit of God at death and came back to life and is gloriously alive forevermore. And he says, now we live through weakness. We don't have the government power. They can persecute us, he says. I have scars all over my body. He says in chapter 11, talking about the weaknesses that he's in. He's worn out. He's tired. He's beaten up. Verse 24 of chapter 11. It says, the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 3 times beaten with rod. I was stoned. 3 times in a shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often. In perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, I am overwhelmed with pain and problems and cares and battles, and I'm weak. Verse 29, who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities. He wasn't seeking sympathy. He was saying, this is where I know I can't do it, and I'm over my head. You ever been over your head? And he says, you're over your head. And I've learned to lean on God, and these infirmities are making me pray. And when I need God, I get full of God's blessing. So I like my infirmity because they make me need God. It's not normal thinking. It's biblical thinking. And we see that. And he gets those things. I had a, and nobody knows about this. Literally nobody knows about this. You will learn, and I don't really want to share this because it's not me to share these type of things. I had about 5 years ago, something happened in my mind where I suddenly lost my memory. And I don't know what happened. I suddenly started losing everything. It was just one day, boom. I had pretty good memory. And all of a sudden, it might have been 6 years ago, I forgot. But I literally just lost my memory. And my kids were laughing at me because I would walk in the house, put my keys down, put my phone down, put my coat down, and say, anybody see my phone? Anybody see my keys? Anybody see my coat? And sometimes you do that just silly, but it was weird because I couldn't find them, and I would have just put them down. And I started forgetting every appointment, everything I was doing, everything. I lost half my memory just like that. I don't have health insurance, didn't go to the doctor, didn't do anything about it. I figure I must have eaten too much sugar, or I must have knocked my head, or whatever. Maybe I need some rest. I don't know what's wrong. I kind of plow through things and don't really worry about things and just move on and just keep on working. So I just kept on working and doing things. But I began to miss everything. I began to lose everything. I began to forget massive passages of scripture that I'd memorized. I had dozens of passages of scripture memorized. I couldn't remember them. One time I sat down and went through my mind. I literally had so much Bible knowledge, I knew what every single chapter in the entire New Testament, what it was talking about. I just sat and thought through it one time. If you would have said John 17, or you would have said Romans 4, or you would have said 1 Corinthians 8, or you would have said Revelation 16, I could have told you exactly what it's about. A bunch of stuff just disappeared. My memory, something went wrong. I don't know if I had a stroke. I don't know if I had been burning the candle at both ends for too long. I have no idea. Haven't been to a doctor yet about it. I have no idea what happened. Because of that, I don't say anything to anybody. I never tell anybody when anything's wrong. I never say anything to anybody. Let me tell you this. Be careful at laughing at people. If you're laughing with them, it's okay. You're laughing at them. It's not funny. It became very hard to run the church. I would forget to plan. I'm supposed to plan a service. I'm supposed to plan this. I'm supposed to have this ready and this ready and this ready and this ready and have this organized. And not that I wasn't diligent. I would get the service and say, oh my soul, I didn't think about this week. And I have a lot going on in my life and I'm busy. And I'd forget to plan things. I would forget what to do with things. I just lost half my memory just disappeared. And I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what was wrong. I began over the last few years when I realized something's not right here. This is not coming back. And it can literally be, you understand, I have lived in fifth gear at 10,000 RPMs for 20 years. I mean, I've been busy and running and busy and burning, and I have no problem if I just burnt up my mind for the cause of Christ. I have no problem with that at all. Paul said the same type of things, and you know, I have no problem if I be spent for the gospel's sake. I don't know if that's what it is. I don't know what it is. Maybe I just got old in one day. I don't know what it was. I'm not too worried about it. I have begun over time. I just fixed a bunch of things I could fix. I lost some weight. I started eating better. I found less sugar made my mind more clear. I found some vitamins in the last 3 months that has helped my memory. And I've gotten about 70% of my memory back. I missed appointments. I had things. I messed things up. You say, why don't you write it all down? Because I'd forget to write it down. And if I wrote it down, I'd forget where I put it. That's why. And so I'd write things down and I tried it. And I just found the other day, I found an organizer that I bought, a really good calendar that was perfect for what I needed. I found it has been gone for about a year. It didn't do me a lot of good because it's gone. And you say, oh man, it must be terrible to try to pastor when you forget everything and when your mind is not working right and when you forget everything. And I sit here and go, how in the world am I going to run a church when I forget everything and when I can't remember things? When you know what's crazy? Things I preached on and knew well and had, I have to restudy them because I don't remember them clearly. Things that I should know that I learned when I was 18, 17, 16, things that I preach on 10 times, I'm thinking, I better read this all real clearly and rewrite it and rethink this real clearly again because I don't remember that very well. Doctrines I should know and things I should know. And some things are fine. I remember all my kids' names. I just call them the wrong one when I call them. And I remember a lot of things I remember just fine. They're 100%. My long-term memory's fine. But a lot of short-term things are back. I have worked and done some things and tried to fix everything I can. I've gotten about 70% now. You say, oh, man, that's terrible. Man, what do? I pray a lot more. And do you notice the last 5 years of the church has been better than it's ever been? Amen. Isn't that strange? When I'm weak, when I can't even do my job as good as I should be able to do it, the church is thriving. Why? Because I'm praying more. I'm studying harder. I'm leaning on God more. I just have to go and say, God, I'm not going to get everything done. And Lord, you're going to have to remind me what I need to remind. If you don't remind me of it, just make it all work. And I pray more. And I come to Sunday leaning on God. And I trust him more. And I come. And by the way, if my memory is 100%, I need God. If my memory is 100%, I need God more than anything. But you know what? I'm leaning on him more. And so my memory, don't feel sorry for me. Souls are getting saved. Lives are being changed. God's doing a work. And if I needed to have my memory go away for a year or 5 years or 10 years or whatever it needs to go away, and it's going to mean God uses me more, then I'll take that. I'll glory in my infirmity. I will accept that. And God, and I could sit here all day and kick myself and say, you can't do this very good and you shouldn't be this. And 1 Peter 5:1, overtake the oversight thereof of the church and all the things the Bible says. I know all that, but you know what? I'm in God's will. And I'm going to go work for God. I'm going to do my best. I can still work really hard. I might forget what I was supposed to be doing or what I'm digging. I might dig a hole in the wrong spot, but I can dig hard. I can still work hard. I can still do a lot of things. I'm getting better. My memory's getting better. I can still work hard for God, and God can still use me. I'm not going to sit there and say, I just can't do it. There is no time to not do it. There's too many good things to do for God. There's too many things to do for God. And so I go out, and I run the bus route, and I pick up 20 kids, and I forgot one. That's why I bring my daughters, so I don't forget one. But you know what? I could sit at home and say, I'm just not going to run the bus route because I might forget a kid. That would be real smart, wouldn't it? How about I bring 19 and forget one instead of saying, I'm just not going to do it because I might forget one, and I do zero? That's what a lot of people do. I'm just not good enough. I'm just not worthy. I'm just not capable. And you do nothing because of it. That wasn't what God intended. You're better off doing your best and getting something done with all of your ability and with all of your weakness. And you might go out and witness to somebody and stumble through it. And you'd say, well, if somebody else witnessed to them, they could probably have had 10 people saved today. And I only had one, but you had one. And that's okay. You take your infirmity and you grasp it and say, God gave this to me and he's using it to make me strong and lean on him. And when I lean on him more, his strength is made perfect. Now I've got, instead of my strength, I've now swapped it for God's strength, and now I can do great things. Now bigger things are happening. Now greater things are happening because my God's strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I hope you'll learn to say, boy, Satan's beating me up with this, but that's okay. Because it's reminding me that I just need to say, Lord, I need you. And watch when you decide to keep obeying God and keep doing what God has for you to do, and you keep on fighting, watch how that weakness becomes your strength, because now God's filling you with his strength. Because your strength didn't work. And so God needed to remove it, because you were leaning on your own strength. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. Oh, that's good. God gives you strength through your infirmity. And Satan's beating you up with that. And you say, this can't be of God. It's Satan. It's evil. It's beating me up. If you would not let it stop you and keep on serving, you'd find out it'd give you great strength. Or you can lay down and let the devil pound you. But then you don't get God's strength, and you just get pounded for nothing. If I'm going to get pounded, I want production. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to glory in our infirmities. Lord, he said, I glory and I take pleasure in my infirmities because I've been beat with a whip, and I've been stoned, and I've been cold and naked and in peril. And these infirmities are making me strong. What a great message that Paul had. What a great spirit he had. Help us, Lord. Help us to lean on you and to trust in you and to depend upon you. We thank you for the word. We thank you for Paul having go through this so we could see it. And I pray today that our infirmities would be our blessings and our and things that we glory in. Even though Satan thinks he's using it, you're allowing it for our good. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Are you going to glory?